Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Ooh, all right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes, and I am, honestly, as you can probably tell by the way I'm talking, feeling quite juiced up today. It's always a great day. Yeah, absolutely. It's always, I feel like, especially here at AfterSight, you'll always see me with a cup of coffee in my hand or something. I was joking with like staff a couple of days ago that like I need to have a thing that just, I don't know, injects coffee into my
you need a caffeine IV.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe not though. That could be a little bit dangerous, but
that'd be too much.
Yeah. Well, it's been, you know, we've had a lot of excitement, you know, Easter Sunday's happened and everything. So, yeah, Jonathan, how was your Easter Sunday, and what fun things did you get done? And
oh, it was awesome. Do we always do the Easter eggs, and that we have these cool things that are confetti eggs, and they've got little cellophane or tissue paper over one end that has confetti on them, and so you bash them over people's heads and confetti goes everywhere, and it's a lot of fun. And then Easter baskets, and you know, so all that good food. We had 12 people over at our house for Easter dinner and just played games and hung out, and it was awesome because Logan, my dog, was over at my parents' house, which they never have dogs in the house, and they love Logan. And so It's nice to be able to do all that kind of stuff. I got him this really big, you know, those giant bones that are like 12 to 14 inches long and by about 3 or 4 inch diameter that are just unsightly huge.
Yeah.
So I got him one of those and he destroyed that thing, and it only took him a couple hours to eat it. And I was like, dude. so it was awesome. And yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. What about you? What'd you guys do?
Well, I went over to family's because Easter by myself would not be very fun. And
sure.
We made salmon, which, oh man, it's one of my absolute favorite entrees. I could eat salmon every day for the rest of my life and not get sick of it.
Nice.
Salmon, I still get Easter baskets because, you know, because it's fun. Why not? And
that's right.
I'll say one of my favorite Easter candies is those. I only see them around during Easter, those big jelly beans. Like, not the jelly bellies are good, but these, I don't know, they're large, they're delicious, they have all sorts of different flavors.
Like man-sized jelly beans.
Yeah. They actually do, like, have single ones, too, that are, like, kind of big, but yeah. Well, anyway, I am super excited for today's guest. She's a good friend of AfterSight's. Has been on, the Blind Chick before eons ago, and is joining us today on Blind Level Tech to talk about medical devices and their accessibility or, well, lack thereof. So, yeah, joining us today is Ellie White. How are you doing today, Ellie? And, yeah, how was your Easter Sunday?
Yeah, hello. I'm doing well. Yeah, Easter is always a lot of fun. I love, you know, I still have fun and, like, color the eggs with my brother and everything. And being blind, like, the dye, of course, ends up kind of on me more than in my egg, but, or, like, on my egg, but, you know, that's the fun of it. And, of course, even though I have type 1 diabetes, I love the candy.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Well, what is your favorite Easter candy?
Oh, goodness. So it's like a Cadbury cream egg, but, like, instead of a Cadbury, like, with the cream inside, it's a Reese's. So that's, like, peanut butter inside.
Oh, yes.
But it's, like, big.
I love those.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I love the caramel ones. Mm-hmm. The ones with caramel on them are really good, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so speaking of type 1 diabetes, you know, there are a lot of different brands and different kinds of devices that are out there to, you know, maintain and manage it. And they definitely have different quirks when it comes to accessibility and the ease of use or lack thereof. So, yeah, Ellie, what devices do you have to manage your type 1 diabetes? And yeah, let's talk about that first, and then we'll dive into the accessibility aspect.
Totally. Yeah. So I am currently on what's called the Tandem Control IQ insulin pump. It's a device where I wear, you know, a set in my arm that has a needle that goes into my arm, connected to a tube, connected to a device that I wear like on a pouch on like my belt or something like that, that holds insulin. So I can inject myself with insulin as I eat or when I need it. And then I also use another monitor, another needle that I have injected in my stomach called the Dexcom. It's a continuous glucose monitor, and it monitors my blood sugar, like it says, continuously. So I can luckily read my blood sugar like off of my phone or something, and I don't need to prick my finger and take my blood every hour.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so the phone is definitely a pretty recent innovation, and the things like the Dexcom. Gosh, I think I heard about that coming out maybe only a couple of years ago. So let's talk about the pump first, though. It's a digital device. I'm assuming it doesn't have any voice or app integration or any of that.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, so it does have like an app that you can have on your phone to view the settings and to view the alerts, but you can't use it to manage the alerts or anything.
Wow. And you can't use it to manage like the amount you're injecting or anything?
Correct. No. So okay. Yes, there's settings on the insulin pump that I should be able to use to like, you know, manage my diabetes and my blood sugar and to like have it automatically calculate the level of insulin that I need and everything like that.
Right.
But since the pump itself, like the control device, is all touchscreen and it doesn't have any audible. Exactly. It doesn't have any
audible. It just goes audible. Beep, beep, doesn't it?
Exactly. It just beeps. It doesn't have any tactile buttons that I can even like memorize the sequence of buttons or anything. So I just need to literally go to a sighted, hopefully family member, but you know, I'm not always with my family. So I need to go to a sighted person that I hopefully can trust enough to control the settings on a device that controls my life.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that? Like when you, like, that would be so irritating and so infuriating to have a device that I can't use, especially when my life is literally in the hands of somebody who I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess when you say it that way and when I think of it that way, it is very frustrating because, like, I know the phone can, you know, speak and it's totally accessible.
Yeah.
And there's screen readers out there and, like, there's the technology out there. And it just hasn't been implemented into these digital devices. So knowing that is frustrating. And I just don't understand why those companies haven't done it yet, because diabetes, I believe, is the number one cause for vision loss.
It is. That's a great point. It's the number one cause for vision loss. You know, plenty of people have and have to manage their type 1 or type 2 diabetes. And these devices are, wow, they're like thousands and thousands of dollars too.
Absolutely.
But the Dexcom has been a, well, I was going to say a pretty recent innovation, but it's been out for a few years. And it has an interesting little companion app that goes with it. And how would you say the accessibility of that app is?
Luckily, I mean, since Dexcom is, I mean, it literally is just a reading. I just read what it says my blood sugars are, and then I clear the alarm if it's alerting me, if it's too high or too low. So with that, it is completely accessible on my phone. But again, that's because I don't need to control any settings or anything like that.
Right.
Now, prior to the Dexcom, when you had to prick your finger, what was the strategy like for actually kind of reading that that level and all that?
I mean, so luckily in my, like, in my case, when I was needing to prick my fingers and everything like that, I did still have enough vision to, like, you know, hold it really close to view my numbers. But they have made, like, what's called the glucometer. So that's the, like, meter that you have to suck the blood from your finger to have it read it. And they've luckily made attachments where it is something that you need to insert into, like, the plug on your phone, which then can put it into an app. And then if you, like, have it suck your blood, then, like, it can display the reading onto the app on your phone, which is
interesting.
Fairly, I mean, I want to say it's accessible, but it's, like, you know, one of those things that's, like, challenging. It's, like, accessible once you get used to it.
Yeah, it's one of those apps where you kind of have to find workarounds to make it work.
Exactly.
Yeah, we all know about those.
Exactly.
And another concern might be, too, so you mentioned it plugs into your phone's charging port?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So that would mean, too, with the new iPhone 15 series, you'd have to get a completely new device because that would plug into a Lightning connector. Now we're on USB-C. That, oh, I don't know.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, or like if you have a different phone, like if you're like on Android or whatever that you use, like the USB-C or the micro USB or whatever that is.
Exactly. Huh. That is interesting.
I hadn't thought of that point before.
So I
absolutely.
I have a question when it comes to the. You were talking about some of the technologies that you currently use, which is awesome. I'm sure that somebody in your situation is monitoring what is coming out technology wise. Have you seen anything in the medical community that may lead you to suggest or say that there are some accessibility items or gadgets or devices that will help you in moving forward?
I mean, I want to say like yes and no. Yes, so I have definitely worked with people and with like these companies that might have workarounds or like, you know, might have suggestions of, you know, apps, you know, let's say like Seeing AI that I can use on my phone read my other thing or something like that. But a big thing that I have gotten myself really, really involved with, I've actually now gone to Washington, D.C. at the last two Washington seminars to speak on Capitol Hill with legislation to, or like with legislators to show the significance and like really put a face, if you will, to the bill that we're trying to have passed, the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act.
Yes.
Because I just want to, it would make me and, you know, people in my scenario, like I know I'm not alone, feel so much more comfortable if it could just be a, not a, oh, you know, life would be so much better if this could be a thing, but like if it were actually a law and like that manufacturers need to put this in place, it would just be so much more comforting.
Yeah. And otherwise they'd be breaking the law. That would be pretty bad.
Exactly.
Well, so what actually would ideally be your accessible insulin pump / glucose monitors? Would you rather have something that relies on an app, or would you rather have something that's standalone that has like a speaker with a, you know, maybe a text-to-speech synthesizer or pre-programmed voice prompts?
In a completely ideal situation, I would want it to be separate from an app, because let's just say if my phone were to die, or, you know, if I were to be without it or something like that, or even for other people, like even let's say like the elderly population who might have vision
loss.
They
might not have a smartphone.
Exactly. They might not have a phone and they might not know how to use a phone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I think it would be overall ideal to have it just be its own thing.
Yeah, and maybe talking like, I don't know, because there's always pluses and minuses to these devices being standalone and talking. Like, I guess the only thing you'd have to contend with, which honestly, if it's your life on the line, then I don't see a thing with problem with that, would be your levels being read out loud, you know, mm-hmm. When you're programming the pump itself. But at the same time, you know, I think that, you know, there, you know, it's a double-edged sword, of course. It's,
yeah. I mean, I know some people can be like, oh, this is my, like, you know, my personal life, you know, you don't need to know what my blood sugars are, stuff like that. But it's like,
absolutely,
really, like, it's not that big of a situation.
Absolutely not.
It's not a hill worth dying on.
Exactly.
Huh?
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, Ellie, but I'm feeling a little bit hungry, and it's actually getting around, well, it's getting around my lunchtime. It's Mad Greens Day as I'm recording this, but we're not here to talk about Mad Greens. We're actually here to talk about something completely different.
The sandwich of the week.
So, Ellie, what is your sandwich of the week?
Well, I don't, probably just because I tried it for my first time earlier this week.
Oh.
A nice, juicy patty melt.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Good call.
Yeah.
I love a good
that
patty
was
melt.
Really good. Like, coming in with a Thousand Islands dressing and everything, that was different for me, but it was really good.
I think Thousand Island nice. Dressing is probably one of my personal favorites, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go last. Jonathan, what is your sandwich of the week?
Well, knowing that you're going last, I better make mine pretty subpar because it seems like you're going to build this up pretty good. So actually, no, my dad has been smoking a lot of beef and pork and all that kind of stuff. He's kind of on he loves to smoke meats and barbecue and all that kind of stuff. So we did like a barbecue sandwich with jalapenos and barbecue sauce and mushrooms and onions. And oh, it was pretty amazing. So
Absolutely. Yeah,
barbecue sandwich.
That's
classic.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to go with, because I had mentioned salmon earlier and now salmon's on the brain, I'm actually going to go with like a, not a Filet-O-Fish exactly, because it's McDonald's isn't the healthiest, but for crying out loud, a Filet-O-Fish because they're delicious and they have
you
fish.
You went last for a Filet-O-Fish.
I did. I know. How dare I?
Wasn't there that one day, Evan, that we walked from CCB to that one McDonald's and had
it
those?
It was, and that's, for whatever reason, maybe my brain just kind of associated that, but
that's
oh yeah.
That's awesome.
I remember too, awesome. Getting Filet-O-Fish while we had a, oh man, it was like a board meeting or something, a student board meeting, and it was raining, and I was trying to get McDonald's, and I remember it was like, oh, it was, I don't know, it was a good time.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
But Ellie, I love plugging things like this. You got yourself a foundation and all that. So anyway, where can people find you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, as you know, Evan, I'm a completely open book. I am 100% reachable. My foundation is called the Ellie White Foundation for Rare Genetic Disorders. And I have a website, the elliewhitefoundation.org. And I can be reached through that or on email or by phone.
Absolutely.
Anything. So I'm completely open and I'm here for anyone for any reason.
Absolutely. And if you want to hear Ellie's full story, please go back and listen to, I think it was like, gosh, episode 20 something of The Blind Chick,
yeah.
Because it's a good episode. And yeah, if you want to hear more about Ellie's story and how she got involved with AfterSight even, and just kind of her experiences, yeah, go check that episode out. Yeah, Ellie, anything else you'd like to leave our audience with?
No, I don't think so. I mean, just keep your heads up, keep putting your foot forward and go achieve big goals and don't let anything stand in your way.
Rock on. Yeah, and rock on is a famous Joe Stretch, I would say, too.
Yep.
How about you, Jonathan?
Yeah,
I actually had one more question for Ellie. We have our hike coming up. Are you planning on coming on the hike?
No, I am definitely hoping to. Yeah, I'll definitely have to look into that. And
good. Absolutely. It's July 27th, which also happens to be my birthday. What? So it'll be awesome. I'll be turning 40. A big day on a big hike. So it'll be a lot of fun to celebrate with all of my peeps out there.
Oh my goodness. How did I forget that?
That's awesome.
I feel bad. It's not something it's your 40th too. That's huge.
That's neither here or there. It's going to be more fun to be hanging out with Ellie and all of our amazing hikers. And we're going to be at Myers Gulch. And it's going to be an amazing time. So if you want more information about that, visit our website, aftersight.org/hike. You can get all of the information there.
And yes, and if you have feedback for this podcast or any of our other originals or a question for any of our podcast hosts, you can always email feedback@aftersight.org or call us at call our feedback line at 720-712-8856. And we have our hike coming up. We're going to have actually coming up in April. I'm excited for this. We're going to have just like a little volunteer brunch, kind of an open house coming up, which is super fun. And we did launch a couple of new programs too. We have an audio edition of our AfterSight newsletter that our grants manager Brady Steffel read for us. So I'm super excited now. We're getting, you know, we have our newsletter now in, you know, digital form, print form, and finally as an audio edition. I never even thought of that. And now that it's here, it's pretty awesome. So anyway, with Devin Starnes, Jonathan Price, Ellie White, the entire AfterSight family, I'm your host, Devin Starnes, and don't forget to plug in your devices.